My name is Laura Ha, and I'm the worship and creative arts pastor here at Bethany. And today we are wrapping up our worship series. And this series we've purposefully entitled Every Moment, Every Breath, Every Place. Because I think so often we can get caught up in just talking about worship as if it was only singing on a Sunday, when in fact worship is so much more. We know that, we can just get kind of stuck in that line of thinking. Over the last 2 weeks, we've explored how worship is meant to involve our whole bodies, our whole selves, our actions, and our everyday lives. That true worship isn't confined just to this space, or really any space, but it really flows out of each of us, our lives offered to God as living sacrifices, wrapped up in His mission and His heartbeat for the world. But that's why, as followers of Jesus, it is so important to understand worship. What it is, why we are called to it, and how we can develop hearts of worship that are aligned with the way of Christ. Last week, Pastor Andrew helped us explore how we develop a heart of worship, and he gave us a challenge to grow our hearts of worship through surrender, through wonder, and through serving. And today, as we close the series, I want to explore that same challenge, the challenge of developing hearts of worship. But I want to talk about it through the lens of our communal worship gatherings. Because we can often, in our individualistic society, do such a great job of forming and living out our own personal worship lives. But sometimes we forget just how formative communal worship is, and how our posture in how we approach communal worship matters so much. And when I talk about communal worship, I mean every part of a gathered worship experience. Singing, praying, bringing arts pieces, reading scripture, sharing stories, receiving communion, preaching, all of it shapes us. And when we come together as the people of God, whether it's here on a Sunday, in a home church, or wherever, something happens. We're participating in something holy, something powerful. We're being formed and transformed, not just as individuals, but as a whole body. And as a body, we're all part of creating sacred spaces for each other to share and find Jesus. So today, I want to encourage us, each of us, in how we approach communal worship, because how we show up in worship matters. Communal worship forms and transforms us in so many ways. So I'm going to talk through a couple of those ways today, even though there are many more. So first off, communal worship forms and transforms us when we are taught and compelled through each other's worship gifts and stories. By sharing our stories, we teach and compel each other. In Colossians 3, it says, "Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way." Now there's so much to unpack in these verses, but I want to pause on the words, one another. Communal worship isn't just about me and God. It's also about us and God. When we sing together, pray together, share stories of God's faithfulness, we're instructing and encourage and reminding each other of what is true. When I hear you singing words of hope while walking through something difficult, it builds my faith. When someone shares a personal story that resonates with me, I remember I'm not alone. God worked in them. He will work for me. We are in this together. And so then worship becomes a way that we carry each other back to Jesus. When we share our gifts and stories, we are taught and compelled. Well, another way that communal worship forms and teaches us, or forms and transforms us, is because we are affirming together that both our confidence and our identity are found in Christ. Psalm 95 is an invitation. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people He watches over, the flock under His care. Throughout the Psalms, we see repeated invitations of communal worship, and they also all include a reminder of why we worship. They are identity-shaping declarations. When we come together and declare, God is King, not me, He is our Maker, our Creator, we belong to Him. We are his people, the flock under his care. Then we are shaped together. It's a reminder that I'm not the center. I'm not alone. I belong to God, and I belong to his people. So communally, we affirm our confidence and our identity in Christ. Well, communal worship also forms and transforms us by encouraging and motivating us to carry worship into our everyday living and serving. Hebrews 10 says, "Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching." And I love that verse. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love. Let's see how creative we can be to spur each other on. Worship isn't just about a moment here. It's about our actions. It's about how we respond. We're reminded of who God is when we gather, and then we act on it. To take what we've received here and knowing we have the support of our community, carrying it into our neighborhoods, workplaces, and families with hearts ready to serve. We encourage and we motivate each other. Well, fourth and final for today is communal worship forms and transforms us by building unity, because we look to the interests and needs of the whole, not just our own. Romans 15, "May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus." So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it. Now you do it. Again, so much I could unpack in these verses. And I'm nowhere close to getting along with others as well as Jesus gets along with all of us. I don't know about you, but when we work on that, when we practice unity, what a picture. Our lives are singing in harmony. Communal worship teaches us to yield, to make space for one another, to listen, to love, to welcome. It forms a community that sings one song, not in uniformity, but in a beautiful, Christ-centered harmony. So when we gather, we shouldn't come expecting our own personal preferences to be met. Rather, we should come ready to grow and to build something together. Every gathering, we learn how to look not only to our own interests and preferences, but also to the interests of others. Every gathering is a practice, or could be a practice, of putting aside our personal preferences for the good of our community. Well, all of these ways, being taught and encouraged, being reminded of our identity, being motivated for living and serving, and being formed in unity, are how communal worship transforms us into a community, into the likeness of Jesus, into a family. So I thought, what a better way than to know or learn more about how worship forms us than to hear from some of the people in our family. So we've got three stories for you today, and they all talk about how communal worship has shaped them. So let's give a listen.
Hi, my name is Janathan, and my wife and I have been coming to Bethany for about 2 years now, and we have four kids, 14, 4, 3, and 2. And I've been serving on the worship team for about a year now, and I play the drums, the bass, and I also sing. I've always been around worship in a music sense with, so my parents were pastors at their church, and my grandfather led the worship there, and then passed that on to my aunts and uncles, who also picked up things in the ministry, whether being pastoral or serving leading in worship. And that passed on to my mum, and then my mum got me in that, where I had a little piano growing up and a little Mickey drum set that I used to play on. And then she encouraged me to take piano lessons, which I wish I had been more diligent in, but she always had me around music. And I took up African drums and steel drums as a kid, and that transferred into coming into the youth band at the church I used to go to. I was doing that since I was about 12 years old. I was always encouraged by my mom to speak out and sing out, and that's where I was going to encounter and be intimate with God. And eventually I joined the adult worship band there, and then that's when I first had my real encounter with God, when I realized what I was singing. And it was just like the blinders came off me for the first time, and I got to sing from my heart and realized that all the amazing things that God had done for me. And it just really changed me. And at that moment, I broke down and just fell to my knees there and just, I think, worshiped God for the first time. Since I've been here, two opportunities I've had is being able to lead at the youth baptism nights. Andrew was talking about worship 2 weeks ago, and then immediately I just had the desire to go to the Bible and look up all the verses that had to do with worship. And then the one that really spoke to me was talking about worshiping God thankfully with joy. And I found that really important. And seeing on the youth nights how the kids praise and worship together really ministers to me. And so that's encouraged me to want to minister to them and show on my face and that I'm happy to praise God and that I can encourage them to thank God. And I think it is important that we minister to each other and show that we can be intimate and vulnerable together so that we can encounter God and find Him there. And through seeing the youth happily smile to each other, that they're encouraged to do the same thing, and those around them are then encouraged to do the same thing. And I've seen some of my friends, I'll speak to one person who's he had a really intimate moment with God. He was in the military for a long time, so he's very stoic. And he almost never smiled, but we were at a concert one time seeing Hillsong. I wish I could remember this song for him, but he broke down, and people around him were just so confused seeing this big, strong, stoic guy just break down. But he found God in this really quiet moment. And it was really amazing to see. It's just good to see that no matter who you are and where you are, God's going to find you. And it just showed me that I don't have to be, not that I'm as stoic as him, but it showed me that I don't have to be afraid to show myself and be vulnerable for God. Yeah, worship's brought me closer to God in those times of intimacy. And since realizing that I can sing from my heart to God, it's given me a real understanding and renewed my heart. That's the reason I bring my son with me, and just so I can just encourage him and pass that on to him so he can, in his own time, encounter and meet God. Isaiah, come up. Oh. Do you like coming to a rehearsal and see Daddy play the drums?
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you want to play on the drums one day?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the band.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pray that I can pass on a spirit of worship to my kids and to this little guy right here.
Hi, my name is Karen Puttycombe, and I am a wife to my husband Mike, and a mother of 3 adult children and 2 son-in-laws as well, and I have 4 amazing grandchildren, which is so exciting. I've been part of doing music my entire life. I know nothing other than music, to be quite honest. I took music lessons and piano lessons and all that kind of stuff. And I've been part of the worship ministry at Bethany for about the last 6 months, and I've really been enjoying that as well. Currently, I work for the Canadian Council of Churches, and my role there is Associate Secretary of Justice and Peace. Sounds pretty fancy, but it really enables me to work within an area that I'm just so passionate about, in justice work as well. Before then, I was a pastor with the Salvation Army for over 30 years and really enjoyed my ministry there as pastor of various churches across Canada. The transition was really hard going from full-time frontline ministry into my new job, and I found it was coming back into worship and getting back into that routine gave me a grounding, just a place of being, which so naturally came for me. It was really part of my worship language is really singing and praising God in that way. See, each of us have our own worship language. Maybe for some of us and some of you, it is music. Maybe it's art. Maybe you're an artist, a painter, or something along those lines, or performing arts. Maybe it's that you dive deeply into scripture, or you write poetry, and those are the things that speak to your heart. Or you immerse yourself in creation, spending time outdoors with people and by yourself and just enjoying God's creation. It gives us opportunities to connect with the Creator in this endless form of worship that flows in and out of a loving relationship with God. Collective worship can ignite our faith journey, because corporately we can share our worship language and respond to one another in that worship setting, really learning from each other's strengths in worship and growing from there, merging together and aligning our spirits with the spirits of other people, giving us an opportunity to give praise to God for who He is, the living God. There's an ebb and flow of life that allows us to enter communion with God in our daily living. See, God is everywhere, and that's why worship can be so different from each of us. God meets us where we are. God speaks in those sacred moments, those sacred spaces, in times of loss and grief and pain and suffering and joy and rejoicing as well. God is where we are. He comes and meets us exactly where we're at. And I've heard many people over the years as a pastor say, I can't come to church anymore because I'm crying all the time every time I come. And to that I say, come. I say, don't give up. Don't stop coming. If church isn't a place for tears, I don't know where it is. When I started coming to Bethany in the summer, after feeling a great loss of leaving full-time pastoral ministry, I was really struggling. And God met me every single Sunday here at Bethany. It was a deep yearning in my heart to be able to worship, but I couldn't even get any words out through all the tears that were flowing down my face. But God worked a healing work within me. And once again, my voice was able to sing praises without crying the whole time. So I'm really grateful for the blessing and of corporate worship, being able to be together as a group, and that we're able to create sacred spaces together in our private, in our own homes, but then we can come together. I will continue to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, to receive blessing from the many gifts and talents, and worship together in everybody's own worship language in my daily living as well. And I thank Bethany for being part of my healing journey.
I'm Ryan, and I'm going to share with you what worship means to me. So I've attended Bethany for over 20 years, and I've served in the Worship and Arts program for over 12 years now, probably pushing 13. My first introduction into communal worship came in Sunday school, as most of us have experienced, singing along, doing the actions. But at that age, you don't really understand exactly what you're doing it for. I asked my parents for a guitar when I was 6 years old, and sure enough, they got me one, put me into lessons at the church, and this is when I really became involved in the Worship and Arts program. The guitar lessons didn't last very long, and I cried during my last lesson. But yeah, during that last one, we clapped along to the rhythm, and that felt very natural to me. And that's kind of when my obsession with music, drums, and worship music started. As I continued to take lessons at Bethany, I had to decide on a tag team when I reached grade 7 at youth. For those of you that remember a tag team, Laura entered the picture here, and she kind of convinced me to join the worship team instead, and I played along with them for the next 2 years, and I really, really enjoyed it. Taught me a lot about music, worship, and what it meant to be a leader. I think that was really important. A really good place to start when you're young and learn the respect for what you're doing early on. I really remember that first worship night, looking out and seeing all the kids singing along and just really feeling something. And that's kind of when it all clicked for me, why we worship. We're worshiping as one for the same reason, and that's to worship God. To me, worship is not about the performance, it's about the action. I think when you can separate yourself from the performance aspect of it and focus on what you're actually doing, that's when you're gonna feel closest to God. And I think that goes for everybody. Like when you're in the congregation, you feel like you're raising your hands and everybody's looking at you. I can promise you that they're not. We're all here for the same reason, and that's to worship God. Eventually, I was asked to join the big church team, which was a really big deal to me because I really looked up to all the people that served there, and I've always wanted to do that. It was that was kind of the end goal. And over the past 10 years of doing that, I played for Good Friday, Easter, Christmas, musicals, worship nights, youth nights, you name it. I've probably played them all. And there's two big moments that stand out to me. The first one is the youth baptism that we had in 2024. It was just incredible to see so many young people engaging fully with their whole heart, not really worrying about what anybody else was doing. And it really allowed me to enter into my own time of worship. And the second big moment that I really appreciated was a worship night that we recently had at the church, and just the energy that everybody brought and how happy everybody was to be there. And we were all there for the same reason. It was to worship, nothing more, nothing less. And everybody did it how they wanted to. They went about it in their own way. And it was really special to see. And yeah, just a really good night of worship. Being able to use the gifts that God's given me to serve is really important for my spirituality. I'm not necessarily one to raise my hands during a service when I'm sitting with the congregation, but playing drums is my way of worship. As I've gotten older, going to school, getting a job, my time to play drums has drastically decreased. I don't get the option to go downstairs every night and play for 2 hours, bother my family and all that. But my willingness and desire to serve has always been there. So as my interests have changed over the past few years, I'm finding new ways of worshiping And for me, that's through running and gardening. I've done a lot of running over the past few years, spent a lot of time doing that. I've run over mountains, through rivers, through valleys, through thunderstorms, rain, snow, sleet. And to some of you, this may sound super unappealing, which is totally understandable, but it is pretty incredible that we get to experience all of this, like what God's created, that we can throw ourselves out there and truly take it all in. And just appreciate it, because we don't always take the time to do that. It's easy enough to just look at the ground and focus on your feet, but when you take a minute and raise your head, appreciate the leaves on the tree, the people who are walking around, what they're doing, birds flying, the bees that are flying around, anything like that. You see stuff that you wouldn't normally see. And through running, I've seen more nature than I ever would have without it. And it's truly incredible what's out there. So I am a horticulturalist, according to my diploma. And gardening is one of my favorite things to do, whether it be at work or at home. Behind me, this is my special place. I love to slow down and appreciate all the small details, whether it be the colors in a flower petal, the smell of a certain geranium, the worms in the soil, the birds and bees flying around, anything like that. It's just truly incredible to just take a moment, sit back and appreciate what God's created. I don't think you can truly experience God without experiencing your surroundings, especially in nature, because it's what truly brings you closer to what He's created. Like, we can go to church on Sunday and worship, but it's not all about that. It's about what you do on those other 6 days of the week and how you take in what He's created and use that to worship. That's really important to me. One thing that's exciting to me for the future of worship at our church is seeing new faces come in to the Worship and Arts program. Whether it be young or old, there's always a place for them. And I'm excited to use my experience to encourage them to worship in their own ways, because we don't always get to do that on stage. And I think as we move forwards, we're becoming more accepting of the different ways that people worship. And I think that's a very exciting thing. And I encourage everybody to use their gifts, because I know that we all have them. You just need to find your outlet and use that as your way of worshiping God. So as Pastor Andrew does, he gives you a challenge every week. So I'm going to do the same. This week, I want to encourage you to go outside for a minute, 10 minutes, an hour, slow down and really take in all the small details that are around you, because that's when you're going to really appreciate what God's created, and even appreciating what He's created is worship.
What a gift to hear each of these stories. It takes courage to be honest and vulnerable, and we don't take it lightly around here. In fact, vulnerability is one of our main values, because we know that God will use our real and honest stories to grow His community. And that's what we've seen here today. That's what we've been talking about. These stories in communal worship is one of the ways that God shapes us, heals us, and forms us into His people. I'm so grateful for each of these three that serve here at Bethany, using their gifts to build up the body. And just as in Colossians 3 reminds us to instruct and direct one another, to sing your hearts out to God so that Christ is glorified in every detail. And that is what we just witnessed, Christ being glorified through their lives and voices. And each story revealed something beautiful. Jonathan reminded us of how the faith of others, his family, formed his view of worship, and that how he wants to pass that on to his children now. Karen reminded us that we all have a worship language. We all have something of value to bring when we gather together. And Ryan shared how his worship isn't confined to this space, but how it's spilling out into his running and gardening and everyday living. But did you notice something else in all three of these stories? It wasn't just about their personal connection to God. It was about the impact of the community around them. Each of them had stories of growth that depended on the whole body being together. It was in this context of community that their faith deepened. It was in the presence of others worshiping, praying, weeping, rejoicing, creating sacred spaces, that's when they encountered God in a new and powerful way. And that's the mystery and beauty of communal worship. When we come with an open heart, God not only works in us, He works through us. And sometimes it's your worship, your posture, your story, your willingness to show up here that might be exactly what someone else needs to hold on. And I know that's been true in my own life. There have been many moments where I've doubted God's goodness or questioned whether or not He was really at work. But then I looked across this very room, and I saw someone with a cancer diagnosis lifting their hands in praise. I've heard someone bravely share about their mental health struggles and choose to trust anyways. And I've watched someone walk through these doors knowing that just being here took everything they had. And in all of these moments, I was reminded that God is real. He is moving. We are not alone. And this is what I love the most about what I get to do. I get to watch people discover their gifts, step into them, and begin to live out their own stories of God's goodness. And then I get to watch those stories build us up as a community and ultimately give glory to God. Because that's what happens when we worship together, when we lift our voices in the same words of truth, when we declare the kingship of Christ, our dependence on him, and our hope in his name. We are shaped, we are formed, we are unified. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the incredible gift of community. We thank you that you created us for community, that you knew that we could not do this alone. We could not do this thing called life alone. God, so thank you that you have given us ways and instructed us in ways to grow each other, to build each other up. Thank you that you never waste a hurt, but that what we learn about you and through you in our hurts actually helps to encourage us, but brings encouragement to the whole body. And God, we thank you that you designed us to be able to worship you together too, that we are able to build beautiful harmony as we sing and also as we live out your call for us in the community. So thank you for partnering with us and inviting us in. In Jesus' name, amen.